when I was a kid, I had always sort of fantasized about, being in New York and playing music there and eating all the delicious food. And I had an opportunity in my life where I had a change of relationship status, as you'd say on Facebook, and it just sort of freed me up. And I thought, hey, why don't I go? And now's a great time. I was, I think, 22 or 23 at the time. And it was the right time for me to take the chance. I applied for a grant from the Canadian government called the Canada Council, and they approved it for me to come down and take some lessons with some people down here, and just been making a go out of it over the last 10 years.
And you also have been to Montana. What has brought you out here?
Oh my goodness, I love Montana so much. Growing up, I had no intentions either way of being in Montana. It was circumstantial at the beginning. I was playing with a friend of mine. We had done some playing together over the course of a year, and he invited me out to play with a group called the Alpine Theater Project.
In Whitefish.
Yeah, excuse me, in Whitefish. It's a lovely theater company. I've been working with them for the past 5 years now, the past 5 summers, and a shorter winter season for the past two. Originally, when he pitched the idea to me, I was like, oh, come on, I don't want to leave New York for like a month to go and play in Montana. I mean, what's it going to be like there? There's going to be no offer. Why am I going to do this? And he's like, dude, just come out. Have some barbecue, chill out in the mountains. Like, it's hot in New York. Just come out. And, as like a transplant to New York, the last thing you want to do in your first couple of years is leave New York. Of course, later in your life in New York, you're like, please get me out of here. But because it's just, it's good to sort of balance it out. So I reluctantly accepted, but as soon as I got there, I fell in love immediately. I mean, it's just, playing with ATP, the Alpine Theater Project, it was an amazing experience. And just the whole, they're really open to the whole just Montana landscape being open to you. So, I stayed up on a mountain where, I had my own place to stay, and I was playing, performances every day, and checking, going to Glacier National Park and Pole Bridge and all these other places. And I didn't think much of it at the time. I was just like, hey, it's like summer vacation, and I'm here having a good time. But year after year, I kept going back, and it's grown in my heart so much. And Montana is just it's such a special place. And to me, having this album, Pole Bridge, out is just my way of sort of sharing my love and my experiences that I've had over the years, and look forward to having more. And
Well, let's talk about the new album, Pole Bridge. I read in the notes that the genesis of this album was you had visited Pole Bridge and gone behind the Pole Bridge Mercantile and found an old upright piano.
Yes, absolutely. It used to be in the salon, but they had moved it out to like a little amphitheater. And it's just like there's a video floating out on the internet originally of me playing on this piano, just kind of jokingly. Like it's a total saloon piano. I mean, the thing is just battered. It's been through all four seasons, many, many, many years. And it sounds like you imagine it sounds. And I just saw it, and immediately it captured my spirit. And I just like went down and started playing and writing on it. And then, later, a friend of mine saw a video that was recorded, sort of a joke, just like, I'm playing this serious piano piece, and then the camera sort of zooms back, and you see that it's kind of in the middle of like the woods, and there's just like tree stumps and like three people in the audience, and it's just like, what's going on? A friend of mine saw that. Actually, the trumpet player in the band saw it, and he commissioned me to write an album. He wanted to me to write music originally for that piano exclusively, but it sort of grew into this whole 5-piece band that we now have over the course of a year and a half. And I was writing music mostly in Montana over about, I guess I sort of wrote the melodies here and there, but over a course of about a 2-month period, I just sort of all the music sort of expunged from me. And yeah, I love Montana and Pole Bridge, so it's lovely to for it all to sort of come together with all the experiences.
Well, let's listen to a few of the tunes, and the first tune on the album is called Pass the Beer Bread. So let's listen to an excerpt of that. I have to say that this is a very Montana sounding tune, Rob.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's got that sort of old-timey fiddle sound. The part in the middle, which is more abrasive, is sort of my interjecting my own influences as a classical composer into that. The violinist in the group is John Marcus. It plays in the Enzo String Quartet, who was just nominated for a Grammy for their recording. And coupling that with the bass player on the album, Andrew Small, who just graduated from Yale in classical bass performance, who is also just a total demon of like folk and bluegrass and all that kind of style and jazz as well. And I knew that he plays fiddle too. So I knew that on the album I was going to have a violinist and a fiddle player. And I also knew that I really loved beer bread, which is a Polebridge specialty, where they combine, it's like a sweet bread made with beer. You know, it's not alcoholic by the time you eat it, but it's very characteristic of Polebridge. So, it draws on the image of people sitting around one of the tables outside the Mercantile, just sort of eating and, like passing the beer bread. You can just imagine a group of people saying, hey, and then, a guy kind of playing fiddle in the corner and everyone having a good time. But stylistically, I wanted to just sort of jam violin and fiddle, which of course are the same instrument, but it's a different methodology of playing, and sort of lock them together.
The second tune is a tango, and it's called Rango's Tango. Before we listen to that, tell me the backstory of Rango's Tango.
Originally, the working title was Spanishy, which is just terrible, and which is why it was a working title. But I'd always had this character right off when I started writing it. I'm very visual with my writing. There's characters, and it's kind of like a play, like a Shakespearean play, where I see the characters as motifs, and they sort of are who they are, and they interact with each other, and then create other sort of realities from how they interact over time. So for me, this whole piece is about a very sort of awkward man that's like, doesn't really know how to tango, but he's like trying to impress a younger woman and just kind of falls on his feet. And and each instrument kind of has a different role within, and it's up to the listener to decide who does what. But that's Rango's Tango.
Tango is always so fun, Rob. I love this piece. Fun to write, I bet.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It was great to just sort of let that sort of expand and take place. The trumpet player, I wrote it mostly for him, that part in the middle. And when we were rehearsing it originally, there was a bunch of music that I had sort of just written the motif, if you will, like the main sort of catch point. And he, when I originally brought it to him, he didn't really resonate with it. He was like, hey, this isn't, I think this is too serious or whatever. And I was like, man, this isn't supposed to be serious. This is supposed to be way over the top. And he took out his trumpet and started playing with it. And immediately it just like flew together. And it was like, oh, okay. So we saw it. And now it's actually one of my favorite pieces to perform with the band. It's just, it's hilarious. It's very dynamic, going between very sort of subtle and gentle parts to very expressive and, bravado. So it's with those extremes, it's a lot of fun to play.
The next track I want to listen to is called The Klezmonauts. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Very well.
And this is based on klezmer music. And let's listen to this for a bit.
Well, there you have it. That's my rendition of klezmer music bridged with outer space astronauts.
I have to say that sounds more Budapest than Polebridge.
Well, you never know who you'll meet in Polebridge.
That's true. The last cut I want to play, and I'm sorry we don't have time to listen to the whole CD, but this is one of my very favorite pieces on there. It's called Didn't Ask, Breathe Now. And Rob, this is a very jazzy tune, and I just love it. It's so beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, it's got a lot of elements to it. It was all composed in one evening. I was in staying on a mountain near Whitefish, and I'd spent the night just hanging out with friends and having a good time. And I didn't get home until 3 or 4 at night, and I went straight to bed, and I was just like, oh, I'm exhausted. And as soon as my face hit the pillow, this music started happening in my head with the organ. And for me, I was like, oh, I want to sleep right now. But it's like, I was there to compose in Whitefish. So I was like, okay, I better get up and start writing like a good composer. So I went down, I had my gear set up and the notes came out. I got my section done. I was like, okay, time to go to bed. And I went back to bed. I put my face back down on the pillow, and immediately the next part came to me, like right away. I was like, ugh, I just want to sleep. But, you know, I went back, you know, being diligent. And, you know, when inspiration comes, you have to act. Otherwise, it's lost. So I wrote the next section, and that took another 20 minutes or so. And then I went back to bed, and I sort of noticed, hey, I bet if I get in bed, I'm going to hear the next section. So I kind of like jokingly jumped on the bed, but didn't, just to sort of try to fake myself out a couple times. And then finally did it, and there the music came again. It happened over about four or five sort of different sessions, the whole piece. And at the time, I didn't really understand its relevance, but the commission was based off the Micah, who the trumpet player on the album, commissioned the album. His mother had passed shortly before he commissioned me and left him some money, and he decided to commission me with this work. So to me, the ending of that, it's about the last 2 minutes or so where the trumpet comes back and is her ascension into heaven. So it's sort of a modern chorale, and it's... It brings me to tears most times that I listen to it. I didn't realize what I was doing at the time, but it's really connected for me, and I feel really honored to have touched that part of his experience.
Well, it's a lovely piece, and we have Micah to thank for it, it sounds like, as well as Rob Mosher. And I have been speaking with composer Rob Mosher, who's been talking about his new album, and it's called Polebridge, and it was inspired by Polebridge, Montana. Rob, just such a pleasure to hear the album. Best of luck with it, and thank you so much for taking time to speak with us about it.
Thank you much, Sally. It was a pleasure speaking with you.